Good morning and welcome to Engage Church, formerly New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I want you to know that it is an absolute honor and privilege to stand before you today to share the Word of God, to bring you the message this morning. Today we embark, you guys get to stare at that guy sticking his tongue out at you for the next 2 weeks. We're starting on a new series on the most powerful, the most harmful, and the most life-giving part of our body, and that is the tongue. If you have your Bible with you, and I certainly hope that you do, and if not, find somebody that you can share with, or find somebody that you can share your Bible with. It's also going to be on the screen. Find your way to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The section runs through verses 1 through 12. We're going to handle 6 through 12 next week. This week we are through verses 1 through 5. And our sermon series, as you turn there, our sermon series is called Taming the Tongue. And today our focus is the power of the tongue to guide. So the power to guide. Does everybody turn there? All right, let's get going. Verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. I'm curious, has anybody here heard of the ship, the USS Lauderdale? So apparently it was a ship like way back when, and then they've just they brought in the newest ship that they commissioned, the USS Lauderdale, on July 30th of 2022. Let me share some facts about this ship. It is a total length of 684 feet with a full load weighing 24,900 pounds. That's not a very heavy ship, is it? 24,900 tons, that's into the millions of how much this ship weighs. It has four giant diesel motors that produce over 40,000 horsepower, complete with a helicopter pad, torpedoes, and missile launchers. However, if you were to crawl underneath this ship, you would see that this massive vessel is guided in a safe direction by a relatively small rudder underneath the hull of the ship. It doesn't take much of a rudder to steer these ships. When we think about this ship, we can surely agree and realize that this ship is a powerful force. When it's put to use by the Navy, people fear when they see this ship coming. A ship with no rudder is a ship, what? Left to the mercy of the wind and the waves. Because a ship without a rudder has no way to guide itself. There's no way to give it direction, and therefore there is no way that it will ever reach its intended destination. Because of that, it carries great potential to cause great harm and damage. You see where I'm going with this yet? The same is true of our tongue. Without a rudder or guidance from us through the Holy Spirit, it's a powerful tool, or it can be a powerful weapon that causes great damage. Surely the words of James is who wrote James, surely the words of James, he shares that this is for anyone who gives Christian instruction. So, myself, all of our Sunday school teachers, those that are in nursery teaching, anybody who is sharing the Word of God, we are held to a higher standard. We must understand the seriousness of the responsibility for those who teach God's Word. Here's why. Because of their influence. Like the rudder has influence over the direction of the ship, our words can influence others and guide their life. While the words are directed at leaders, there's much all of us can glean and apply to our lives today. So, I'm going to challenge you here in a little bit and tell you that this actually applies to all of us as believers of Christ Jesus. The first thing I want to hit on today is our words carry weight. Everybody knows the saying, sticks and bones may what? Break my bones, but words will never hurt. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. Sometimes words hurt worse than a stick, okay? James is very clear in this passage when he warns of the responsibility of those who teach. While many of you might be out there relieved, you're like, oh, I'm not a teacher, I don't do this stuff. You're not discluded from today's message. You don't have the get out of jail free card, if you will. Because I suggest to you today that we are all held to the same standard because we are believers of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if this is true, then what happens next is all of our words, whether good, bad, are sharing the gospel, are sharing our thoughts, sharing our beliefs about God or Jesus, because of our position, because of our influence as a Christian, the weight of our words have the power to shape the beliefs and attitudes of others. We talked this morning in Sunday school about those those that have boldness. When we share the gospel message, we are equally responsible for what we share because when they view us, I jokingly said Dave, but I didn't really mean to jokingly say it. Dave is a very bold guy. If you've ever played golf with him, you know. But he's not outspoken about his faith. He'll share. He's very capable of sharing and talking about things that have happened in his life. Because of his position as a Christian, I'm not meaning just to call you out, Dave, but I always pick on you. There's a responsibility for the things that come out of his mouth. Because people listen when he speaks. Okay? Jerry, same for you. Same for all of us in here. If we carry any kind of influence in somebody's life, when we share the gospel message, we're responsible for what we've shared. So if we paint Jesus to not be who Scripture tells us He is, you alone are answering for that. You are responsible for those words. So our words carry weight. So we have to exercise caution and wisdom in our speech. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Imagine a scenario here. I'm going to share some. The teachers, I'm not picking on you today, but you're the best application for words carry weight. Imagine a scenario where a teacher or a mentor entrusted with the responsibility of guiding young minds use their position to belittle and discourage students rather than uplift them and empowering them to do a better job. Perhaps they make cutting remarks about the student's ability, or they make cutting remarks about their lack of what they call potential. And in doing so, this causes the student to doubt themselves and to doubt their capability as just a functioning human being. The words from this teacher's mouth have a profound impact on this student. It can shape that student's life, it can shape their future, it can shape their perception, and it even can influence that student's future decisions because of what the teacher said to them. Amen. Okay? Now, let's contrast this with a teacher who recognizes the weight of the words that come off of their tongue. They speak words of intentional affirmation. They encourage, they build up, and they do nothing but support their students. through their positive reinforcement and their belief in that student's ability and that student's potential, here's what they do. They inspire, they cause confidence to happen, they motivate, and they empower them to reach their full academic potential and their personal potential. So can we agree that words carry weight? Much weight. The same is true of us as Christians. We carry weight. In both of these scenarios that I've shared, the power of the tongue is evident. We can agree that the teacher's words can crush spirits or can ignite a passion and determination. Likely all of us are thinking in our head of a teacher who did one and then a teacher who did the other. I certainly had that experience. Maybe you didn't. Maybe all your teachers were really nice. But I also wasn't very nice to my teachers. So maybe some of that's my own fault. But there's an importance that we need to learn about using our words wisely, especially when it comes to our role of influence and leadership. Again, if you do not have influence in this church or you are not in a leadership position, if you claim the Lord Jesus as Savior of your life, this applies. Where no one is excluded from this today. We must understand that we can shape the trajectory of someone's life based off of how we speak of certain things. This example, listen, teenagers, it applies to you. It applies to you in all your relationships. Parents, guess what? It applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to classmates, friends, co-workers. If you are breathing air today, it applies to you. Our words matter. So my challenge this week, I'm not done. Normally I wait till the end to challenge. I'm not done. But my challenge to you this week on noticing that our words have weight is to consider the impact of your words on others. Are you using words to build up or are you using words to tear down? Are there areas in your life that you need to exercise a greater care and discernment about the words that are coming out of your mouth? Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Sometimes we shouldn't talk because we don't have anything good that we should say. This week, I want you to pray for God's guidance to use you this week and to use your words to encourage, to edify, and to inspire those around you. And then share the gospel message. Share your testimony. The second thing I want to share this morning is power to build or destroy. Not only do our words carry weight, but our tongues can either bring power or they can bring destruction. Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Does that say tear them down before you share the gospel? No, it doesn't, does it? We build them up. We share words. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Just as a small rudder can direct the course of a large ship, our tongues have the ability to steer the direction of people's lives. So if you will today, consider the power of your words. Consider that your tongue can bring power to build or it can bring destruction. I ask you today, are your words building bridges or are they erecting walls? Are you building bridges or are you putting up walls? Are you using your speech to create unity? Are you using your speech to create understanding and reconciliation? Are you using your speech to create division? Are you using your speech to gossip? Are you using your speech to cause misunderstanding? Are you using your speech to see conflict flourish? Are you building bridges or are you erecting walls? So this week we need to strive to be intentional in our communication. We need to strive to make sure we're using the right words and sharing just the truth of who we say we are, if Jesus has so radically changed our life, can people see it? By the words that we use, can people say, that's a Christian? Imagine these examples. A young person, we have many young people in here today. A young person struggles with self-esteem issues. They struggle with who they are. They get made fun of at school, this, that, and the other. And somebody gives them encouragement. Somebody gives them some affirmation. They tell them that they are good enough. You are capable. You are loved. You have potential. See, when we do that, that plants seeds of confidence and hope in that person's heart. When you tell them the good things about them, over time, those seeds start to grow. And all of a sudden, we see their self-esteem grow. They begin to pursue their dreams. They have a renewed determination to go after what they desire to go after, knowing that they have someone in their corner cheering them on. Then, if we look on the other hand, consider a workplace environment. How many of us work? Consider a workplace environment where gossip and negativity run rampant. That spreads like a cancer, doesn't it? When there's negative talk and all this all over, it just spreads. Co-workers are engaging in malicious talk. They're spreading rumors about one another, and it creates an atmosphere of mistrust and hostility. Nobody trusts anybody because of all the things that have been said. It might come to a point where one person in particular finds themselves the target. I am not proud to say it, but I've been part of the group that has targeted somebody at work. And they are constant. They are the receiver of constant criticism and ridicule. And over time, what do you think happens to that person? The weight of their words, the weight of the words hurled at them, takes a toll. It beats them down to the point where the morale suffers, the performance suffers. They don't want to do anything anymore, and eventually they just want to leave. They quit, they leave, they get fired, whatever it is. They're done. Now, these examples that I've just shared, similar to the first, they illustrate the impact that our words have on others' lives. I hope we're understanding the impact of the words that come out of our mouths. Whether we choose to speak words of encouragement and affirmation, or if we are gossiping, we're spreading negativity, or we're talking down to somebody, those are what determine whether we're building up or if we're tearing down. As James reminds us, the tongue has the power to guide the course of people's lives. Let us use it wisely to uplift and to encourage one another. Do you know how this applies? Walking the talk. Am I not on? Huh? Oh yeah, battery's flashing. I didn't even put a new battery in it. Can you run me up the battery, please? All right, am I on? Do I need to repeat that last point, Dave? Yep. So how does this apply to our lives? Walking the talk. We have to put it into action. So we've just read it from God's Word, and now it's time for us to put it into action in our lives. So as followers of Christ Jesus, it's not enough to speak about the truth. We must also live out the truth that we proclaim to believe in. We have to live out. We have to put it to action. Our words must align with our conduct. In doing so, we prove the authenticity of our faith. By putting into action what we believe, we put legs to the gospel. When Jake was here, Jake Thies, our missionary, put legs to the gospel, put feet to the gospel. Living out what we believe does that. Colossians 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Here we see emphasized, and in James we see emphasized, the importance of aligning our words with our conduct. We can examine the consistency between our speech and our actions. We can also take the time to apply this to our lives by reflecting on specific areas. Everyone had a week, right? We all just came off of 7 days from last Sunday. How'd your week go? How'd your conversations go? Did you yell at your spouse? Did they yell at you? Somebody just said, I don't know who it was. Listen, we have a marriage conference coming up, guys. I'll come over here. Did we have a hard week? Did we have a situation where we engaged in conversation that maybe we shouldn't have engaged in? We need to take time to reflect and see if there's any words that we've used, any language that we've used that does not fully align with our professed beliefs. And if you find them, ask for forgiveness and let the Holy Spirit work in you to flush that out. Because we have to walk the talk. For example, I just kind of hit the examples, but situations at work, home, relationships. There's times when, in the heat of the moment, we fail to maintain our integrity. We fail to maintain our position because of our speech or our actions. This week, we can all take time. As we go through this two-week series, we can take time to ask for God's guidance to help bridge any gaps that there are, that He would point out areas where we're involved in conversation that we shouldn't be involved in. And then we can strive for authenticity and consistency in our witness of followers of Christ. Why does this matter?
Jesus.
Great answer, Kelly. Because Jesus, right? If we profess the blood of Jesus over our lives, listen, we all struggle with sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. I'm not saying that we're perfect. But what about your testimony? We said this morning that nobody can call into question your testimony because nobody knows what you actually went through. Nobody knows what you experienced and what God did in your life. But if we have our testimony and then we have unwholesome language right after our testimony, what impact does our testimony carry anymore for that person? It destroys our testimony to them. Imagine, if you will, me. Take me, okay, as an example, who regularly stands before you on Sunday mornings preaching about the importance of humility, compassion, servant leadership, and to preach the gospel. Now, while I strive to speak eloquently, it was so wonderfully pointed out to me last week that I misspelled resurrection on my slide, and normally spell check catches that for me, but Deb, she caught it for me, bless your heart. And I went the whole service completely not even realizing, but y'all came back this week, so bless you for coming back. I'm glad that didn't have an impact. But while I strive to speak eloquently, I try to get all of my words on paper so I know what I want to say and how I want to say it and say it without causing any issues. Sometimes I stumble. I teach about following the example of Jesus, serving others, and what if my actions outside of the church told a different story? What if I preached against drinking alcohol, which, if you don't know, I preach against drinking alcohol. I think it's a destructor of your life. And you saw me in the bar drinking a pint. It's offensive to think about, isn't it? Why would he be there? Why is he doing that? What if I was seen out boasting about my accomplishments, prioritizing my own needs above others instead of serving others? Hey, what can you do for me? And what if you saw me treating somebody that I deem less important in a different way than I treat somebody who maybe has more perceived importance? See, in this scenario, If this is true, please tell me, because I owe whoever an apology, but I pray that it's not. But in this scenario, my words sound convincing. They sound good from the pulpit here on Sunday, but my actions would speak louder than any volume that I can muster up here on stage on a Sunday. My testimony would be completely ruined like that if they saw somebody different out there than they see in here. Despite what I preach, my behaviors would contradict the very principles that I preach on Sunday morning. This is why walking the talk matters. This is why we have to put feet to the gospel. As James 3, 1 through 5 reminds us, those who teach others are held to a higher standard, and their actions must align with their words. Walking the talk in this context would mean that I would humbly acknowledge my shortcomings. I would seek forgiveness where necessary in the situations that I need to say, and then making a genuine effort to align my actions with my professed beliefs. Now, can I do that on my own? No. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit will guide. He will give us wisdom when it comes to situations. He will give us words. And sometimes He'll tell us to shut your mouth, because you have nothing good to say that's going to benefit that person or the gospel. Side note. Can I do a side note? You don't need to point out other people's sin. They already know. The Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. That is not your job. What is your job? Share the goodness of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, as a Christian, to another Christian, you can point out sin. But to a non-Christian, don't you think maybe it's offensive for you to point it out? You're better than me, aren't you? No. Jesus died for both of us. Right? So our words must be consistent with our conduct as followers of Christ. Stacy, if you want to come on up. Let us remember the weight, church. Let us remember the responsibility placed upon us as followers of Jesus Christ, as teachers, as leaders. Let us never forget the responsibility we carry as ambassadors to Jesus Christ. Because our words hold the power to guide, they hold the power to destroy, they hold the power to influence others' lives, and it holds the power to shape the course of their lives. There is nothing worse no matter how justified we may be in some of our beliefs as Christians, there is nothing worse than to grossly misrepresent the gospel message and see people leave the church because they don't like what you said. Now, there are scenarios where you need to say what needs to be said. Understand what there's two differences here, and I hope we can discern that. But let's not let our preferences get in way of the gospel. We all have preferences, right? Who likes a house really hot? Anybody? All you cold people are raising your hands. What about who likes it cold? Right? And all the hot people raise their hands, right? We have difference of opinion. But here's what happens when we come into the church. I set it on 70 degrees and that's where it stays, because otherwise it's too hot for somebody and it's too cold for somebody, and I just don't know what to tell you. Dress accordingly, because listen, the point is that we have difference of opinion. But the gospel message is the same for everybody. Amen. Jesus died for each and every person. There's no person that lacks that He died for. And far be it from us in here to look at others with indifference, deeming them not worthy of the gospel. Don't ever let your mind go to the place where you are deciding somebody's eternal life because they are not worthy. Because I'm here to tell you today, Jesus thought them worthy. And lucky for you, He thought you worthy. And that's a big deal. We wouldn't be sitting here today if we weren't deemed worthy. We wouldn't would be sitting here today without His grace over our lives to be able to tell others. So don't make that decision for them. As we go about our business this week, we have another 7 days. You got a lot of life to live in 7 days. I encourage you to this week to reflect on this first part of this teaching, to reflect on the power of our tongue, and carefully consider the words that we use this week. That we would use our words wisely, that we would align them with the truth of God's Word. Guess what? If you're not in God's Word, we have papers on the table back there. We collectively as a church are going through a year-long Bible reading plan. Guess what we started today? I want to know, is anyone else reading it still? What? 1 Samuel. We started 1 Samuel today. We just read all 4 chapters of Ruth yesterday, which just came off of the heels of our Ruth series. If you are not in the Word of God daily, how can we ever expect our words to line up with God's Word? All of a sudden, then the words are lining up with what? With how we think, what we want, not what God wants. So find yourself in His Word so you can align your words with His Word. Let us be mindful of the power that we possess. Let us be mindful of the influence that we have on others' lives. That we possess the power to build up or to tear down. We have the power to speak life or to bring death, to encourage or discourage. My prayer for all of us this week has been that we would walk in integrity, that we would ensure that our words align with our actions, that we would bear witness to the transformation power of the gospel in our lives. I was a completely different person than I am today, and that's not a brag. That's saying how much the transformation power of God's love has taken in my life, how it has moved me from who I was to who I am. I have a long way to go. Ask Alicia. But the point is that if we continually seek, this is key here, continually seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and He will tame your tongue. He will give you wisdom with what to speak, when to speak, and how to speak. But unless we are willing to give it to God, the Holy Spirit cannot tame our tongue. So we should desire to allow that to happen so that we may glorify God in all that we say and in all that we do. Today we've just seen a picture of how our tongues, though small, tongues are small, right? It's a small piece of the body and seemingly harmless, but in reality it has the power to cause damage. It has the power to steer the direction of people's lives. And I hope today, I hope that I've steered you towards opening up the gospel, to read the gospel, and let the gospel influence your tongue. I hope that's where I've steered you today. We must be mindful of this every single day, that our words carry weight and they have the power to guide. And this is especially important as we are engaging our community for Jesus. Which Jesus are they seeing based off of the words that come out of your mouth? Ask yourself that this morning. Which Jesus are they encountering? This all seems so elementary. There's a reason why God led me here. I want to encourage each and every one of you. Check your words. Check your language. Check the gossip. Check the unwholesome things. If you want to say it in front of Jesus, don't say it in front of your wife. And vice versa. If you want it said, or if you want it said in front of your mother, don't say it in front of your wife. If you want it said in front of your dad, don't say it in front of your wife. If Dad would smack you upside the head because of what you're saying, that's a good clue to not say it, right? Our words matter, church, and I really hope that we take to heart the importance of our words, because we literally carry the ability to bring life or death in somebody's life. If you would you bow your heads, close your eyes? This morning, as I do every Sunday, I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you have an opportunity to use your tongue today for the best thing that you can do. To ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to ask Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. That's the best thing you can do with your tongue, folks. Jesus died for each of us. He died to pay our debt of sin. He died to reconcile us to Himself. He died to fill that gap, to step into the gap between us and God. And listen, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. It's through no one else. It's through nothing else. It is only through Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, guess what it says next? You will be saved. Doesn't say you might be. It says you will be saved. So church, this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're not paying attention to the movements of your neighbor. If that's you this morning, if that is your desire this morning, would you please raise your hand? Amen. And church, here's how I want to close today. This is maybe you could say, a challenging sermon to bring a really good ending to, because I have just harped on everybody's tongue today, everybody's language and how we speak. Here's what I want to challenge each of us to do. As the worship team plays, I want us to reflect on our lives and our interactions with others, whether it's just today or it's this past week. And answer this question: has my tongue been used in a good way or a bad way? And if it's caused hurt, if it's gossiped, if it's talked bad about others, if it's misrepresented facts, if it's cursed, rest assured that that tongue has been used as a weapon. Today, instead, what we can do is we can commit to allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our tongue. We can commit to the Holy Spirit control of our tongue to bring life, to encourage, and to help us realize the weight of our words, and also to help us to walk the talk as a Christian. As the worship team plays, I just want to encourage you. You guys know where I'm at with the altar. I believe that there is wonderful, powerful things that happen when we leave our seats and we step before God and we say, here I am. Have your way. There's something about the difference between your seat and taking that step out. I want to encourage you, if you feel so moved, to come to the altar, to pray and to worship, and in doing so, commit your tongue and your life to the Lord Jesus. Amen.